Well, we're continuing in our sermon series, Were It Not for the Spirit. And so over the course of the next few weeks, we're unpacking elements and dimensions that pertain to the Spirit at work in our lives and our responsiveness in the Holy Spirit to how it is that God is leading us. The text that Harold shared with us this morning, particularly the Exodus narrative, has the backstory, of course, of 400 years of slavery that was taking place for the children of Israel in the land of Egypt. And through their enslavement, they cried out to God year after year, decade after decade, century after century, until Moses climbs the mountain and there has a conversation with God. And Moses says to God, "Why haven't you heard the cries of the people of Israel?" And God says, "What do you mean? I have heard the cries of the people of Israel, and I am raising you up to be their deliverer, their ensign of freedom. You, Moses, you will go forth and lead the people to the promised land." The scriptures bear out that God led the children of Israel in a longer, more circuitous route to avoid the threat of their enemies, particularly the Philistines, who are a coastal people on the western coast of what is now Israel. But admittedly, while it may not be true for everyone, there is something contained within the human spirit that prefers being in bondage and enslaved rather than being free. And I cannot say that I fully understand this myself. I have been in places of bondage. I have been in places of enslavement. And freedom, though there's a cost for freedom, is a far better place to be. Now, I know it sounds strange to say that, that some prefer bondage and slavery, but it's part of the reason that people that are in abusive relationships find it very hard to get out of those relationships just through the pattern and weaving of the dysfunction of those relationships. People find that they cannot get out from that bondage. Billy Graham tells the story of a little boy. He says a little child was playing one day with an extraordinarily valuable vase. And as kids are wont to do, the little boy, he stuck his hand into the vase. Yeah. And then he found out he could not get his hand out of the vase. And so he tried and tried and struggled, and he couldn't do it. And then his father found out what was going on. And he said to his son, Now son, if you stop making a fist, and if you make your hand, just slim it down and make your hand, extend your fingers like this, and make your hand as rounded as it possibly can be, then you'll be able to extract and pull your hand out from the vase. And the little boy turned around and said, "But oh daddy, if I do that, then I've got to let go of the penny that I'm hanging on to." Well, smile if you will, but each of us are like that little boy, so busy holding on to the world's worthless penny. Last week, I shared with you about what it means to be stuck, and that the way to become unstuck is to let go of the wheel, right? Well, to become unstuck, we release all that which is worthless in the world so that we might gain and inherit the kingdom of God. And so, without God, the arc of human evolution is not toward freedom, but it is toward enslavement. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 10 that without, there it is, without Christ, we are slaves to sin. Many of you know that
My advanced studies in Celtic Christian spirituality have taken me to examine and review the life of St. Patrick. And many of us are under the mistaken assumption that St. Patrick was Irish. He was not. He was English. He was a missionary to the Irish. And St. Patrick was a brave soul, and we have now within human history a letter that St. Patrick wrote, and it's entitled The Letter to Caroticus, who was a villainous Irishman who captured and enslaved many of the young women in St. Patrick's diocese. And not wanting to take that lying down, and knowing who the Brigandius villain was, who took all of these young ladies from out of his diocese, he wrote this letter to Caroticus, and he appealed to him, and he said, "Now, Caroticus, I want you to set free these young handmaidens of the Lord. I implore you to do so." And so one of the very first acts within Christian history of persuading another people that slavery is not a good idea came from St. Patrick. Last Thanksgiving, I took my family, my mother and my father and my brother, to the Freedom Center in downtown Cincinnati. I always enjoy going there. Saw some really amazing exhibits. And one of the exhibits that we saw that really kept us involved for quite a while in the museum was that they had a, well, of course, as is the motif of the museum, all about slavery, they had an exhibit all about 20th and 21st century slavery. It was rather shocking, especially since in America we feel that slavery came to an end with the signing of the Emancipation Proclamation. Slavery's all done. It's over with. It's history. It's in the past. And yet there in that exhibit were people from countries all around the world who were in indentured servitude, who were essentially slaves being kept against their will. Last week I came across an article in a local newspaper, and the article was about a young man, 22 years of age, from Santa Barbara, California, and he was going to college in one of our local area colleges around Cincinnati. And this young man was taken to Bethesda North Hospital, and it was there at Bethesda North Hospital that he died. And he died in his college dorm because he was choking on his own vomit. And one tends to choke on your own vomit when there's an overdose of drugs involved. And so there I say to myself, a young 22-year-old life, because he was ensnared, because he was enslaved, his life came to an end. He died of an overdose. And so there is not a week that goes by that I say to myself, when is the church going to do something about the horrendous heroin epidemic that is gripping our nation? From sea to sea, from coast to coast, from shore to shore, enslaving in bondage so many. I'm also concerned for what is called the recidivism rate in the United States. Now, the recidivism rate is the rate by which people are released from jail and then how quickly they reoffend, or are they land themselves back in jail. And so the Pew Center and the Pew always does very reputable work as far as studies and surveys are concerned. They published a report in April of 2011, so it's a little bit dated, but not too much. And the report was called The Revolving Door of America's Prisons. You go in, the door revolves, and you come out again. And so from 2004 to 2007, the recidivism rate in the state of Kentucky was 41%. So what that means is, for all convicted offenders that landed in jail and they came out, 41% of them landed back in jail again not too long after that. And the statistic wasn't too much better for the state of Ohio at 39.6%. And so all throughout Scripture we encounter a God
who is intensely interested in human freedom. Not human freedom just for freedom's sake, my friends, but human freedom being in relationship to Him. And so Jesus made human liberation a centerpiece of His gospel ministry. He proclaims it in Luke chapter 4. He says, I have come to set the captives, you and me, right? He's come to set the captives free. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Gospel of Luke, I love Luke, just four chapters later, after Jesus has finished preaching in the synagogue, he goes out to heal the Gadarene demoniac in Luke chapter 8. And this is a dangerous situation, going over to see this wild man. And he was wild and unruly because he had sold his soul out to the evil one. And Jesus knew that he was the only one who could set this man free. Can I get an amen? Jesus is the only one that can set you and I free. And that's what people loved about Jesus so much. He set people free from hunger, from abuse, from fear, from doubt, from hypocrisy, from sickness and disease, from worry, anxiety, and yes, even the trappings of religion. But he didn't set them free to do their own thing. The people that Jesus set free were not free just to believe in any old thing, but they were set free to be in relationship with Him. Are you in that relationship with Him, my friends? Outside of Christ Jesus, there can be no freedom. Jesus declares it Himself in John chapter 8 and verse 36. If the Son has set you free, what does the Scripture say? You are free indeed. Well, I wonder when we're going to understand that. About 10 days ago, I was watching the news, and many of you know I'm a news junkie. You know, I watch the cycle of news on CNN. When I get bored with that, I flip over to Fox. When I get bored with Fox, I flip over to CNN, and then I watch some local news, and then I read the paper and so on. Well, about 10 days ago, there were two burglary suspects. Perhaps you saw this on TV. And they were in this Ford Mustang, and they led the police on a long, bizarre chase through the streets of Los Angeles in this convertible. And as they love to do in Los Angeles, they had a helicopter flying above this getaway car, if you will, with these two burglars, these thieves in it. And they were filming the whole thing, so you could see it on live TV, kind of like the OJ chase, you know, but here with a couple of burglary suspects. And so they drove through L.A., and they ended up, they exited off on Hollywood Boulevard, and there on Hollywood Boulevard, they put the top down, and they were doing wheelies, spinning around and around in circles there on Hollywood Boulevard, and then they drove off some more with police chasing behind them, and then finally they decided to stop the chase. And what did they do? They got out of that car, they sat on the hood of the car, they gathered people from the neighborhood, and there they were taking selfies of themselves and other people within the neighborhood taking pictures of them. And I ask myself, where as a people have we gone? And so you can see example after example after example of people who are tied up in bondage and slavery. In the case of those two burglars, they made a complete mockery of the Los Angeles Police Department. And not only this, when will the church understand that reaching those that are in bondage is preeminently our work? The work of setting people free is what God wants from us. Many of you know of our Whiz Kids ministry here at church. Pastor Doug Dunlap, who came to speak with us when our Whiz Kids ministry began so long ago, he said, if you can teach a child to read, they can find the Redeemer. And I love that. And so we're helping to teach these children to read, and in the process of that, we're helping to set them free, because there's actually a correlation between illiteracy and time spent in jail. Can I get an amen? There is, my friends. And so we're helping to set these kids free. Or Sue and Peggy's food pantry. The wonderful work that happens there, week in, week out, helping to set people free.
And so, my friends, it's worth looking at what leads people to remain enslaved. In the Exodus narrative, we find that people are afraid of the wilderness, and so fear keeps people enslaved. Fear of the unknown. They just didn't like what was out there in the wilderness. And isn't it funny how Jesus, especially at the end of Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28 and verse 19, calls us, the church, the ecclesia, the people of God, to go out there. Don't hang around here in Jerusalem, my friends. Go out to the uttermost places of the world. And so in the face of fear, it takes courage to become free. And then some people remain enslaved because of the deep need to feel secure. Some people like a well-defined sense of life and its obligations. You know, I get up at dawn, I go out to where they're making the brick, and I trundle around in the mud and in the straw. I keep my head down. I keep my mouth shut to avoid the taskmaster's whip. I do this until the sun sets, and then I go back home and I fall into bed, and the very next day I start the process all over again. And that's what is called security for some. And then lastly, freedom always requires sacrifice. Verse 18 says, the children of Israel, when they left Egypt, they were prepared for battle. They recognized that there was a cost associated with their freedom, and they were prepared to defend it if necessary. If freedom costs us nothing, then we're not truly free. Now, you may be wondering, what is it that causes people to cling so tenaciously to all that enslaves them? Especially since all of us believe that enslavement, in whatever forms it takes, is a bad thing. And that can be summarized in one word: rebellion. Rebellion. Isaiah 63:10 declares, "Yet they rebelled, and they grieved the Holy Spirit, so he turned and he became their enemy, and he himself fought against them because of the rebelliousness that was in the hearts of the children of Israel." Why does God fight against us when we rebel? So that he can set us free. Yeah? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12 and verse 28, "If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom has come upon you. Or how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me," Jesus says, "and he who does not gather with me scatters." But God also does something else for us that is quite curious, and I'll close with this point, and it is found in the Exodus narrative that Harold shared with us about the children of Israel fleeing from the armies of Egypt that were in pursuit of them. He does this. God does this. Hear me, friends. He puts a buffer between the children of Israel and the armies of Egypt. It is the cloud, the pillar of cloud by day. It's a buffer. As long as that cloud is there, the armies of Egypt cannot get to the children of Israel. And at night, it's the pillar of cloud by night, my friends. And so how many times, I'm wondering, in your life and in my life, has God placed a buffer? Yeah? A buffer between all of that which would tear us down or put us back into a place of enslavement or bondage, because that was exactly the intentionality of Pharaoh's and his armies, is we're going to recapture them, take them back to Egypt, and there they will be our slaves to serve us perhaps for another 400 years. But God gave to the children of Israel the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, to give them that space to pursue their freedom. so that they would never, ever again be in bondage. When God gives you that buffer, my friends, run, run to the promised land. Run like the wind towards the freedom that God has purposed for you. Be like the children of Israel. Don't look back. Don't turn back. Just keep going. Keep moving forward toward the promised land. Keep moving toward that relationship in Christ Jesus, which He has promised will be forever yours. And then, and only then, can we be free.